We'll talk about shifting big money to address economic disparities by race. I'm David Brancaccio. At a time when protesters are calling for equal justice for black people and the coronavirus is killing disproportionate numbers of people who are black and brown, we lead with the topic of economic disparities by race. We continue to ask people for thoughts about reimagining the economy, not just rebuilding back to what we had before. Let's talk to Andre M. Perry. He's a fellow at the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution and author of the book Know Your Price, Valuing Black Lives and Property in America's Black Cities. Dr. Perry, thanks for linking up here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So even before anyone knew this term, COVID-19, and despite what the White House had emphasized was the best job market for black people on record, there were enormous disparities.
Oh, man. And the best job market in U.S. history for blacks meant that blacks, the unemployment rates were twice that of the white rate. Home ownership has plummeted to levels that were recorded before the Fair Housing Act was implemented in the 60s. Going back to normal would be disastrous for black Americans. Racism is a big problem, a drag in the market that limits the economic mobility of black people.
And some of that is how money flows. I spoke with Mark Morial of the National Urban League the other day, and he talked about the money we have spent on policing in America, including flawed policing. And he was thinking about other ways we could have spent the money to make people safer and improve how people live. There's an opportunity cost to spending the money on things that are not working.
Well, I mean, every day we spend money on injuries in prisons, for instance, is money that should be used in overall health care. The money we invest in prison systems should be spent on education. And as states go into austerity mode, because of the recession, we're going to really see that money missing from schools and other public services. And so if we really want to enact change in society, we're going to really have to deconstruct this criminal justice system because it's crowding out the funds that should be used to build wealth in other areas.
So in reimagining the economy, given the winter and spring we're living through, maybe there's an opportunity for that. Maybe the window of policy possibilities is now wider. What would be toward the top of your agenda to really change the lives of people and narrow these disparities by race?
Wow, there's so many things from reparations to business ownership and business financing. I'll go with one. If we can increase the number of black businesses that have more than one employee by 15%, we can expand the economy by $55 billion.
There's this phrase, particularly among tech companies, hire or wire, hire black and brown people or invest in their ventures. I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. The businesses have a responsibility to invest in communities. Right now, when big tech companies land in cities, it doesn't necessarily lead to growth in among the workers in that neighborhood. There has to be a deliberate effort to invest in black lives whenever a company comes to town. In fact, this is a time when mayors should demand, using tax incentives, that businesses hire black people displaced by our social distancing measures.
Andre M. Perry is a fellow at the Metropolitan Policy Program at Brookings and author of Know Your Price, Valuing Black Lives and Property in America's Black Cities. Dr. Perry, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Also note that Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti and other city officials pledged last evening to cut as much as $150 million from that city's police department budget and to move a total of $250 million into programs that Garcetti said are, quote, reinvesting in black communities and communities of color. That'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast later this morning if you miss our further coverage on the air. Markets, S&P and Dow futures are each down about 0.5%. The 100-share index in London is down 0.3%. Later today, we'll get another look at how many Americans filed their initial applications for unemployment benefits over the last week. More than 40 million recently laid off people filed since the pandemic shelter-in-place orders began. And a new report shows that many people working for public schools are losing their jobs. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
Almost 469,000 workers in K-12 public education lost a job in just the month of April, according to the Economic Policy Institute. No surprise that some jobs involve school building maintenance, but about half were positions that deal directly with students, special education teachers, tutors, and teachers assistants.
And I think it is devastating for student learning.
Report author Elise Gould says the job losses in April were more than the sector saw in the entire Great Recession, and they could be long-lasting as states grapple with reduced budgets. Bruce Fuller, a professor of education policy at UC Berkeley, says further cuts to education, as we saw in the Great Recession, would probably mean larger class sizes and lower teacher salaries.
These things add up to a decline in overall educational quality, and that sort of affects our whole society's ability to generate more potent forms of human capital for the private sector.
Which he says could make it even harder for the economy to recover in the long run. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Yesterday, we reported the Trump administration saying it would stop Chinese airlines from flying the U.S.-China route because U.S. airlines are still banned from Chinese airports during the pandemic. Well, there's news just now that Beijing is easing coronavirus restrictions so that more foreign airlines can return. U.S. and other overseas airlines can do flights once a week to a Chinese airport of their choice. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.